This is Ballot Box, the Pointer's coverage of the upcoming 2022 provincial and municipal elections. Reporting today, Sam Graywall.
It's been quite the dramatic couple of weeks inside Brampton City Hall, and today I'm going to be talking about it on my own. Ahead of October's municipal election, a lot of people have responded to the coverage in the Pointer on City Hall in Brampton, and I'll touch on Mississauga a little bit with the situation with former councillor Karen Raz and an allegation against a current councillor, Ron Starr. But we'll start with Brampton. And we had a huge response to all the reporting and the podcast last week detailing everything that happened with former CAO David Barrick. He is no longer the CAO after six councillors, the majority of councillors of an 11-member group, six of the elected officials in Brampton, basically said what was happening inside City Hall was an affront to democracy. They released, we called it an extraordinary statement last Wednesday. And I think that was an understatement. It basically said that all governance in Brampton was just at risk because of Mayor Patrick Brown and the staff that he has brought in since he was hired. And what we pointed out in the podcast last week was that this is a pattern for Patrick Brown. I mean, even when you look at his own admitted conduct as an MP, not really falling in line with Stephen Harper, openly disobeying basic parliamentary rules, you know, refusing to be a loyal conservative in the Stephen Harper government, where he's taking off and doing his own things and forging relationships with different constituencies and going off to India like a dozen times or whatever it was by then, you know, seemingly to establish political connections in India, all of this being done without the Conservative Party and the Conservative government of the day under Stephen Harper, really condoning any of what Patrick Brown was doing. He comes back to Ontario, manages to become the PC party leader, and just nothing but headaches and scandal and controversy, you know, whether it was allegations of him trying to rig nominations ahead of the 2018 election, when his own staff leaked an email where Patrick Brown instructed party officials, the party brass, to, quote, get me the result I want in at least one of the nomination races ahead of the 2018 election. He comes out with some mealy mouth excuses for everything. But any observer can see what's going on. I mean, despite his claims when he's always cornered trying to get out of these things, most people don't believe him. He comes out with wild allegations after he was taken down by the party, obviously sexual misconduct allegations, which he denies. And then he comes up with these crazy stories and allegations in the book that he releases. He ends up getting sued by Vic Fedeli, as I said, a senior veteran MPP in the PC party in Ontario. And then Brown has to retract a bunch of statements that he made in the book to get out of this lawsuit. But then we move into Brampton and his mayor denying that David Barrick was even involved in the Niagara scandal, the inside job scandal that a lot of people know about. He was clearly implicated. The reporting was right on the wall. He was part of the investigation report by the Ontario Ombudsman. You know, but Patrick Brown just flat out denies it, misrepresents the Ombudsman's report into the scandal that had taken place in Niagara region. And then Brown tells the public, oh no, David Barrick, his preferred choice for CAO, the guy he handpicked, you know, whose hiring he orchestrated, he engineered that entire recruitment process. And David Barrick turns out to be a disaster, and now he's gone. And now Patrick Brown's out there saying, oh, you know, I was the one who tried to smooth things out. And oh, I was the one who was trying to clean up all of this mess that I created. No, he wasn't. And no one believes him. I mean, I fielded dozens of phone calls and everyone's saying the same thing. Can you believe this guy, Patrick Brown, now claiming after he created all the mess and all the scandals, trying to subvert the freedom of information process, trying to take over the internal audit process, handing out contracts to friends and associates, dubious hiring, bringing in people who are supposed to have engineering degrees and proper backgrounds, and they don't have any of the experience that they were required because David Barrick just fudged it all, you know, made up the rules as he went. And this was all under Patrick Brown's direction. I could go on and on with the stuff that has happened under his watch, with him directing things. And now he has the audacity to claim that he was the one, you know, helping clean it up. No, he wasn't. Read the statement last week. Go take a look at our reporting or go watch the video of the special meeting that was called last Tuesday. It was clearly Brown who was the problem. The counselors singled him out. At one point, Counselor Martin Medeiros basically said the chair is completely thwarting democracy. He wouldn't even allow votes to come forward. And when he referred to the chair not allowing this to happen, not allowing democracy to, you know, run its course, when Martin Medeiros pointed out that it was, quote, the chair who was subverting the fundamental rules and procedures of local government, equated it to, quote, living in an under a, quote, authoritarian regime or administration, basically calling Patrick Brown a dictator, Patrick Brown responded by saying, oh, as chair, I try to do my best. So how much more clear could you be that they were referring to him? He was the chair. But we don't know about all of this because they were going behind closed doors. Patrick Brown had his staff pushing all of these meetings, all of this council activity in camera, away from the public, behind closed doors. And then it's clear what he was doing. As the councilor said, subverting democracy. They said, quote, democracy was under siege in Brampton at City Hall because of Patrick Brown. And now he's out there deflecting and doing damage control, trying to make the public think, oh, he's not the Donald Trump that he is. He's exactly like Donald Trump. He has no respect for democracy. He has no respect for the will of the majority, for the will of the public, the voters. He's shown every step of the way. When he was Ontario PC leader, basically subverting the entire nomination process for his own party's procedure for nominating candidates to stand for the PC party for the election. Quote, get me the result I want. And as I said, I've laid out in the Pointer's reported extensively on what he's done in Brampton. And is this the kind of person that we want to be leading the Conservative Party of Canada? The type of person who might become prime minister one day? We really want another Donald Trump, one of these goofball authoritarians, these ego heads, these narcissistic, power hungry, hell-bent on their own ambition type of politicians that we keep see popping up everywhere these days. We want another one of those types of people, another white man who's thirsting for power. My point on this was that Brampton, there needs to be some really good decisions ahead of the municipal election in October to finally get things on track. Brampton has seen almost a decade of nothing but problems. It's been actually more than a decade. Starting with Susan Fennell, you could argue that even before her with Peter Robertson, Linda Jeffrey was going to clean things up, and she tried, but she had her own issues. And Patrick Brown comes along and he's been a disaster. So I say to you, think long and hard. Do you want another politician who's just going to disrespect the public? You know, and I laugh, like people will say, oh, but Patrick Brown sends cards out and he supports all these ethnic communities and these various cultural groups. Read his book. Read his book. He practically lays out the only reason he supports ethnic communities and religious groups and cultural groups is because he sees you as a voting block. He sees those communities and those groups and individuals basically like dollar signs, the people that are going to get him into office. And he lays this out in his own book, the way he divides communities based on race, ethnicity, culture, religion. Because all he cares is lining you up for votes. You think he's behind these movements? I'll ask you something. If you're listening and you think, oh, well, Patrick Brown, like he really supports this community or this initiative or that charitable group. Ask yourself, other than throwing it out on social media, which you pay for through your tax dollars, because it's all his staff, paid staff that are doing it. Or when he sends out Christmas cards or greeting cards or other mailers or whatever promotional items, again, that you paid for, where he's so clearly trying to appeal to voting blocks based on ethnicity, culture, religion, race, blatant vote pandering like I've never seen before. But ask yourself, other than all of that, does he ever allocate any money in the budget? What has he done with your money to actually help these initiatives? What has he done on the ground? What legislative action has he taken to address things like what's going on with international students? What's going on with a lot of immigrant communities who face brutal forms of discrimination even today. What's he done to ensure residents who were negatively impacted by the pandemic, you know, are going to get the kind of support or healthcare in Brampton or any of the things that disproportionately affect all of the communities he supposedly claims to care so much about? He's done nothing. In fact, he's worked against them. He's pushing a highway through the region. Who's that going to benefit? Oh, his developer friends. Why? So they can grease the wheels and put some money towards his campaigns. We need to be smarter about this. Otherwise, if we're not careful, Canada's going to end up with our own version of Donald Trump. And I just think ahead of the municipal election, we really need to be careful. What's he going to do? Is he going to play both sides? Oh, claim that he's still concerned about Brampton when he's off trying to get the CPC, the federal conservative leadership? He's trying to win that race? Well, I mean, he's been doing that since he became mayor. We have evidence in 2020 that he was directing staff, spending Brampton resources, taxpayers' money, trying to get Peter McKay the CPC leadership back in 2020, ahead of the 2021 election. Peter McKay failed. But why was Patrick Brown spending Brampton taxpayer money on helping out Peter McKay? Why is he so involved with the Bill 21 issue in Quebec? Okay, it's a terrible bill. But why is he spending Brampton taxpayers' money? Oh, could it be because he's trying to line up memberships in Quebec ahead of his CPC leadership bid? Is it all just another political game, a calculation, vote counting, delegate counting, membership counting? So let's think long and hard about the leaders that we back, and maybe it would be good riddance. You know, let them try to get the CPC leadership. Hopefully it'll be one path to seeing him like leave Brampton, a place that did so much for him, basically salvaged his political career. And now he just absolutely turns around and disrespects the taxpayers and the public in Brampton. And again, I can't say this enough. We're going to keep reporting on it. And here's a challenge to any one of his supporters or to Patrick Brown. Tell me one thing the Pointer has had wrong. Tell me one piece of reporting on Patrick Brown and David Barrick and the rest of these staff that have no business working in Brampton for $150, $200, $250. David Barrick was making $322,000 a year on the taxpayer's dime. And none of these guys, these white men from Niagara, that's another thing. You want to talk about Patrick Brown, you know, Mr. Ethnicity, Mr. I love like all the diverse communities. How dare you just completely shut the South Asian community, the Black community, the Filipino community, the Chinese Canadian community, all of the diverse communities in Brampton? Where were they getting opportunities for these plum jobs? Where were they getting these $250,000, $350,000 jobs that were going to these people who didn't even know where Brampton was, don't even have any familiarity with Brampton, no connection to the community, but they're coming up from Niagara, where they all got tossed out. David Barrick was fired from his job there. Jason Tamming, the head of strategic communications from Brampton, he was tossed out, fired from his job in Niagara. Oh, but they all get hired by Patrick Brown. Meanwhile, hardworking Bramptonians are wondering, why aren't we getting those jobs? Why aren't my kids getting an opportunity to work for the city, to work in the public sector with great benefits and a good salary and a secure future? Trust me, he'll tell you what you want to hear, and then he'll turn around and all of his favors will go to his political buddies. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not holding any punches. I'm pretty upset. We had a huge response to the reporting last week and the podcast. And again, I just say to listeners, think really hard ahead of the October municipal election. You know, if you want the best for Brampton, if you want a university, if you want good transportation, if you want good jobs, bring people who care. Bring people who are going to work for you, not for their friends. And to the councillors that have supported Patrick Brown, Rowena Santos, as I said, maybe spend a little bit less time getting $100,000 contracts for your mentor, for your buddy, your friend, Mr. Wheeler. Paul Vicente, you know, spend a little bit less time trying to get $150,000 for your community media outlet. And what does it do? It smears all of your enemies and it props up your buddy, Patrick Brown. Michael Pileshi, Harkirat Singh, same with you. If you think you deserve a seat on council, why don't you start working for your residents instead of for Patrick Brown or developers or friends and family that you're getting these sweet jobs for? you know, and I'll say those names again. Here are the four council members who have stuck behind Patrick Brown despite his destruction of democracy in Brampton. Rowena Santos, Paul Vicente, Michael Pelleschi, Harkirat Singh. And maybe they don't deserve to be reelected in October. Maybe there needs to be a real movement to get some great candidates to boot them out if that's the way they want to treat the taxpayers, the constituents, the voters. You know, and to the other counselors, it's great to see them doing hard work, doing their job. We're going to keep reporting on it, as I said. And talking about Mississauga a little bit before we end, I don't know what's going on with this situation with Karen Rass, the former counselor. I mean, it's obviously just devastating, and it's a real unfortunate situation that a former counselor, a female politician, feels that she was victimized. It looks like there was definitely someone that's targeted her. So I shouldn't say feels like she was victimized. It appears that she was victimized. And there's an integrity commissioner investigation that'll hopefully get to the bottom of it. I hope it either finds the people who are guilty of this targeted harassment against Karen Rass, who stepped down as a counselor. She resigned. Now, she did have a good job that was lined up, but she said it was partly due to workplace issues. And, you know, I just hope going forward in terms of democracy and representation and good governance in Mississauga that all the council members are going to take this investigation seriously and think long and hard about some of the same issues. It's come out publicly, so I'll say it. It's alleged Karen Rass, the former counselor, she alleges that Ron Starr, the current veteran counselor, that he was behind this harassment. But we don't know. We don't know, but there's an integrity commissioner investigation. Let's hope it gives us some answers. And once we have the facts and the evidence, everyone can move forward and act on the findings. And there should be bold action taken if it needs to be taken. I hope, you know, Mayor Bonnie Crombie and some of the other veteran counselors in Mississauga, they will take bold action based on the findings, if the findings make it clear that some action needs to be taken. But more broadly with Mississauga, I really think it needs to start taking a look at its representation. It's really demographically mismatched. You have Dipika Damirla, one out of 12 members, who's a visible minority, when Mississauga is about roughly 60% visible minority. So about 7 of 12 members, if you wanted to be truly reflective, would be visible minorities. They would not be white. But Mississauga, you see 11 of 12 members do not come from ethnically or culturally diverse backgrounds, or at least I should say racially. I shouldn't say that because, you know, for example, Carolyn Parrish is part Polish, and that certainly brings, you know, ethnic diversity to it. But I'm talking about more racial diversity and, you know, reflecting the quote unquote visible minority or quote racialized segment of the population, which is, like I said, it's 60%, you know, with unique perspectives and unique interests and needs and values and expectations that oftentimes don't get represented, whether it's issues around places to worship, whether it's issues around other cultural aspects of life in Mississauga, or even forget that, even just normal, everyday, typical issues in local government, you need a diversity of perspectives. I think it could be a lot younger. I don't have anything against some of the counselors in Mississauga, but you know, some of them have been serving for quite a while. They're well over the age of 60, in their 70s, even approaching 80. And again, I'm not trying to be ageist and suggest that, oh, after a certain age, you should be sent to Siberia. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But at a certain point, it should be incumbent on leaders to know when maybe I don't represent some of the values of the day. You know, maybe I don't understand a lot of complex issues around planning, around transportation. I've heard a lot of the counselors say, oh, transit, give me a break. Mississauga is a car city. Well, you know what? There's a lot of young Mississaugans who have been trying to move that city away from its sprawling suburban car-dominated past. And maybe we need elected officials who reflect and represent some of those new values, what a lot of the younger generations are wanting. So again, ahead of October's municipal election, I think in both cities, in Mississauga, a lot of big questions. In Brampton, obviously, with Patrick Brown's whole situation and the chaos that he's created and trying to get that city back on track, it's faced a tough 15 years. Just take a look at Brampton. Homelessness is through the roof in the city center. The downtown area has been crumbling. Hardly any investment because of neglect. All kinds of other issues that have not been addressed because of terrible leadership. And I just think if you're listening, you know, mark the municipal election in October, mark it on your calendar. You know, think long and hard. Who are you going to vote for as your local councillor, regional council, and the mayor? I don't mean to be preachy, and I know I've been kind of ranting here, but I think it's just as important, if not more important, than the decision we make about our next premier, our next prime minister. You know, the mayor of the city has profound impact on your lives, whether you have good transportation, a good police department keeping you safe. They have a direct involvement and say in healthcare, even though it's a provincial jurisdiction. The local council has to be completely involved in providing grassroots frontline healthcare, hospital investment, etc. I could go on and on in terms of all the direct impacts that local government has on your lives. That's all I am going to say. It was just more of a recap of a couple of pretty rocky weeks in both Mississauga and Brampton, particularly in Brampton. And I think ahead of the election, there's going to be a lot to think about. We're going to focus on some of these issues a little bit more after the June provincial election. So you can expect a lot of very detailed coverage between now and October regarding City Hall in both cities. And I hope you'll follow along with us. For now, I thank you for listening and we'll talk soon.
Was hosted by Sam Graywall, produced by Anukul Thacker and yours truly. Join us next week for continuing coverage of the upcoming provincial and municipal elections. I'm Jeff Chalmers. Thank you for listening. Talk to you then.